Greetings and welcome back to another an ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in Masechet Chulin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Bet, at the second half of the first Mishnah. Ha'of Olem Hagmina Al Hashochan Ve'ino Ne'echal Divrei Beit Shammai Ve'tilel Omrim Lo Oleh Ve'lo Ne'echal. So this refers back to our first Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah, that indicated that any kind of meat except for fish and locusts may not go up with cheese on the table. And we find out now that Beit Shammai said it may, but you can't eat them together. And then Amar Rabbi Yossi Zumi Kule Beit Shammai Umichumre Beit Hillel. This is one of those cases where Beit Shammai is more lenient than Beit Hillel. Now, Be'ez HaShulchan Amru, when Beit Hillel said you cannot put them together, which table is that? B'shochan shochel alav. That's just the table of eating. Aval b'shochan shesoder alav tatavshil, noten zeh betzad zeh ve'eno choshesh. However, the kind of table where you just set up the food, it's exactly like a buffet, but the table where you would take the pots off of the stove and put them there, you could put dairy and meat next to each other and not be worried whatsoever. Now, the obvious question here is that Rabbi Yossi Hanu Tanakama, when Rabbi Yossi comments that this the our Mishnah is a machloka Beit Shammai Hillel where Beit Shammai is lenient, he's not saying anything new. It's quite obvious in the Mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Tanakama and says that Beit Shammai is even more lenient and says you may eat them together. That Beit Shammai and Hillel alone disagree about putting them on the table, but not about eating them. And the Rabbi Yossi says, no, Beit Shammai even allowed you to eat fowl with cheese. But that won't work. He listed six instances where Beit Shammai is more lenient. And one of them is ours. Specifically, putting on the table but not eating it. So we are still stuck with trying to figure out why Rabbi Yossi is mentioned explicitly after the Mishnah already presented it. The famous principle that quoting somebody by name or giving proper attribution to a statement is something that's a redemptive act, and therefore they wanted to mention that Rabbi Yossi was the one who reported this dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel with the positions reversed from what we're accustomed to. Now, Tana Agra Chamua de Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba's father-in-law, Agra, taught the following lesson. Ofu gvinan echalin ba'apikorin. You can eat fowl and cheese ba'apikorin, which literally means loosely or without a lot of guarding. Now, Hutani v'amar la v'humar la, he taught it and then he explained it. As we will see, there was a practice that if you eat dairy products and subsequently eat meat products, you have to wash your hands in between, and you have to clean out the mouth. So he says if it's fowl, you don't need that. In other words, you could go from one to the other without any sort of cleaning process, not of the hands, not of the mouth. So this rabbi came to Ravashi's house. They brought him cheese. Achal. They ate it. They then brought him meat, and he ate it. He didn't wash his hands between eating the cheese and eating the meat. But we have the statement that we just saw, that that fowl and cheese can be eaten in this loose manner without the washing. And the implication is, ofu gvina in basar gvina lo, because we all recognize that fowl is less meat than basar. In whatever sense, it's going to be less serious. So Agra specifically picked fowl because it's not true about meat. So how did this rabbi explain himself? His law is even at night, when you can't see what's on your hands. So if you only are going to eat fowl, you can eat it without washing. I'll be mama. Here it's daytime. I can see what's on my hands, and I see that there's no cheese on my hands. Hachazina, and therefore I can go and have it without washing. Now, this is between dairy and meat. Beit Shammai says you clean out your mouth, and Beit Hillel says you wash your hands. Now, my mekaneach, my mediach. What do they mean by that? Ile mechamayim mekaneach v'lo bay mediach v'etolam mediach v'lo bay mekaneach. If you're saying each one said, the only thing you need is my thing, either washing your mouth out, Beit Shammai, or Beit Hillel saying, all you need is to wash, and not to wash your mouth out, wash your hands and not your mouth. But that doesn't work because we assume always halacha ke Beit Hillel, elahad da'am Rabbi Zera, in kinuach pe ala bepat, the only way to clean your mouth out is to eat a piece of bread. Why would he be explaining a position that's Beit Shammai's and not Beit Hillel's? Come on, Beit Shammai. So it can't be that Beit Shammai alone said Kinuach is the trick, and Beit Hillel alone said Mediach is the trick. Ela Beit Shammai Omrim Mekaneach V'lo Bay Mediach. He says all you have to do is wash your mouth out and not wash your hands. So Omrim Af Mediach, you need both, which means that Beit Hillel again is being more stringent. So Avdim Kol Beit Shammai Bechum Beit Hillel. And Velitne Gabi Kol Beit Shammai Chumrei Beit Hillel, and we have sort of the canonical list of Chumrei, of Kulei Beit Shammai Chumrei Beit Hillel, and that's not on it. So you can't say that Beit Hillel require both actions and Beit Shammai only requires one. Ella, the real answer is Beit Shammai Omri Mekaneach V'Wadin LeMediach. So Omri Mediach V'Wadin LeMekaneach. In other words, Beit Shammai took one example and said, wash out your mouth. And Beit Hillel said, wash your hands, but either one would be fine. Each one gave one example. They don't really disagree. All right, let's take a look at Rabbi Zeira. Gufa Amar Rabbi Zeira in kinuach hapeh al bepat. The only way to wash out your mouth is to put some bread in there. It's a clean out between the two things. Vanimili b'dechiti. By the way, that will only work with wheat bread. But sa'ari lo, but not if it's barley bread. U'dechiti nami, even wheat bread, lo amran el bekriro, if it's cool. Aval chamima, if it's hot, mishtashatri, it kind of tears. And the whole thing is only if it's soft, if it's hard, then it doesn't work. But in the end, we throw all that out and we say, you can use any food to clean out your mouth, from flour itself, tamri, dates, v'yarka, vegetables. Those don't work. But everything else works to cleanse it from cheese before eating meat. Now, Abaye Meir asked him Rabbi Yochanan. So he asked him, "Kami Shebein Basar Ligmina." Very famous question, which we all encounter all the time. How long do you have to wait between meat and cheese? Amrale v'lo klum. Rabbi Yochanan said, "None, no time at all. Just don't eat them together." Eini v'amar Rav Chista achal basar so lechol gvina gvina mutar lechol basar. But Rav Chista said that if you eat meat, you can't eat cheese. He didn't say when, but you can't eat cheese. But if you ate cheese, you can eat meat, which means we assume that it's sequential, because even if you ate cheese, you can't eat meat with it, so therefore it's got to be afterwards. So that means that there is a difference between going from cheese to meat or meat to cheese. So what was Ravasi's real question? What he asked was, if you ate cheese, how long do you have to wait before the meat? Amar lei v'lo klum, and the answer was, no time at all. That quote from Rav Chista, so he asked him, what if you have meat stuck between your teeth? Does that count as far as this issue of having to wait? The famous story of the Slav when Bnei Yisrael collected it and the meat was still between their teeth and they died. So the magifa started. So the implication is that meat that's in between the teeth is still called meat. Marukva anna laha milta, and now we're going to have a series of statements of this sort, where different chachamim are going to say that I'm like vinegar relative to the wine of my father. In other words, going to say that I have a certain practice and my father's practice is much more pious. So we start with marukva because it's on point. Literally, vinegar to wine relative to my father. What's that? Father had a practice. If he ate meat, he wouldn't eat cheese until the same time tomorrow. He'd wait 24 hours. But I just don't eat it in the same meal. In another meal, I do eat it. And that, by the way, is the point of halacha. And where the Gdolei Olam were of divided opinion, Tosfot in this position says, in another meal, means that if you ate a meat meal, you have to bench and complete that meal, and then immediately you could have a dairy meal. Whereas the Chachmei Sfar overwhelmingly said, no, you have to wait the amount of time we generally wait from meal to meal. And so that's where the famous Rambam, Kishe Sha'ot, approximately 6 hours, etc. Now, Amar Shmuel, and now we have a whole series of these things where the Chacham says, my father was greater than I in a particular pietistic practice. Ana lahamilta chalam barcham legabe Abba. So my father, Shmuel says, was greater than I, dilo Abba, v'sayir nichse trezim nebiyoma. He used to check out the estate and see what was going on the property twice a day. I only checked it out once a day. Which he's saying somehow was a greater thing about his father. Now Shmuel, Shmuel had a reason for checking it once again. If you check out your property once a day, Mishkach Istiri, you'll find coins. Now here's some stories about that. Abaye haver sayur nichse kol yom v'yom. Abaye used to check every day. Yom achad pagam ba'arise, didoi patcha du'ufi. He saw his aris, his sharecropper, that was carrying some wood. What are you carrying these two? Amarlei, levemar, I was carrying them to your house. In other words, he caught this guy trying to steal from him. And the guy then came up with an excuse, says, oh, I was bringing it to you. So Amarlei, kvarkin mucha rabbanan, the rabbis already beat you to it because they advised me to check out my property once a day and I know that you're actually stealing from me and I caught you. Ravasi, another story. He also used to check his property every day. Where are all these coins that Shmuel promised? He saw a pipe coming from a an overflow of water coming into his land. He took his turban off and he wrapped it around it to stop the flow of water. He yelled out and people came and they dammed it up and this was threatening to flood his field. He found all of the coins because he saved his field. So we're going to find out now that there are three typical washings typically in a meal. You wash your hands before the meal. You wash your hands at the end of the meal before Birkat HaMazon, and you wash your hands in the middle, it's called Mayim Emtzaim, between courses. Now, Meitaveh, so he says that Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, but Mayim Achronim is an obligation. Meitaveh, watch this, Mayim Rishonim Achronim Chova, Emtzaim Rishut, that the water washing before and washing after a meal, that is an obligation, and the water in the middle, that is voluntary. So, what is the status of Mayim Rishonim? The answer is mitzvah legaber Rishut Chova Karilei. If you're going to compare it to washing between courses, which is totally voluntary, very voluntary, suddenly refer to Mayim Rishonim as Chovah. But within the relationship between Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, Mayim Rishonim is Mitzvah, not Chovah. And that's why, as we saw at the end of the first paragraph of Eruvin, they exempted people in the army camp from washing before a meal, but not from washing afterwards. We'll see why in a little bit. Kufa Mayim Rishonim Achronim Chovah Mitzayim Rishut. Okay, that we saw. Now more to that Braita. Rishonim, notlim bein beklibet al gabi karka. What this means is, mayim rishonim, you could pour them over your hands and have them fall into a vessel or on the ground. We don't care. Achronim ein notlim ala bekli, but mayim achronim must go into a vessel, not on the ground. We'll see why, chiefly in the next podcast. V'amila ein notlim al gabi karka, that you're not allowed to. One is that you only wash in the kli. The other version is you're not allowed to wash on the ground. So my benayhu, basically saying the same thing, ikbenayhu kinsa, if you wash on top of some wood, so on the one hand, it's not on the ground, on the other hand, it's not in a kli. We'll see why. Mayim rishonim notlim bein b'chamin bein mitzonen. You can use hot water or cold water to wash your hands before meal. Achronim, but mayim achronim ein notlim ela mitzonen. They must use cold water. Why? What's the reason? Shachamin v'fa'apin et ha'yadayim. Hot water kind of heats up the hand and makes it sort of bubble. V'ein ma'avirin et ha'zuhama. And they don't get rid of the stench on the hand. So we now get a clue that washing your hands at the end of the meal is to get rid of the smell of, because you handled the food, because again, they didn't have utensils. So everything was hand done. You take some bread and stick it in a pot and grab some food, etc. So you had to get rid of the smell, and hot water won't do that. Mayim rishonim notlim bein b'chamin b'mitzonen. Right, so let's say, Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Lo Shanu Ella Shein Hayad, so let it by hen. This is only true if your hand doesn't get burned by them, meaning if it's not boiling water. Boiling water you can't use for my Mishonim. I don't know who'd want to, but of all the yad, so let it by hen, aim no limb by hen. Some people actually learn the caveat of Ma'yad Soled by hen as a comment on the Seifa, which is Achronim, aim no limb Ella Bet Sonain, Aval Bechamin, lo. You cannot use hot water for Mayim Achronim. That means only if it's Yatzoledet. You could use hot water that isn't boiling to wash Mayim Achronim, which implies that Mayim Achronim, theoretically, you could use very hot water. Okay. Now, Emtzayim Rashut. We said that the water between, the washing between courses, that's a Rashut. That's voluntary. It's only between regular cooked items. If you have a cooked item and then you're going to eat something dairy, then chovat. If the cooked item was meat and then you're going to have some dairy, then chovat. Let's go back to my machronim. Why are they so such an obligation? This is what we also saw in Eruvin, that there is this kind of salt which is very thick and dangerous salt that has some chemicals in it that are very bad for you. If you touch them on your hands and touch your eyes, you could blind yourself. So therefore, you have to wash off your hands to get that off. So in a typical core of salt, there's a little bit of it. So what happens if somebody's measuring salt? Does he have to wash? He doesn't have to. It's only somebody who eats with it. Okay, and we'll pause at this point. We'll go back to Abaye's comment about Mayim Achronim, and we're going to hear a whole series of comments from different Chachamim who said that they had an original assumption about a certain practice that was a particular way, and then they were enlightened and saw that it was something different. We'll get to that in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.